I was muted, I was unmuted, I was on, I was off. That's a typical morning for me, walking around my house. Man, all right, so good morning. Oh man, Labor Day weekend, you guys are ready to go. Sounds awesome, sounded great back there. We're gonna move the main worship service, even our communion. We've got tables set up around the service. You can get up and move around during our worship set a little bit later. We're going to do all of that at the end of service today. So this is a little bit different. If you're like me, you absolutely love change. Okay, maybe not really, but I do appreciate you guys so much. I really, really do. And I got to tell you, as one of the pastors and elders and speakers here at CCW, it is just such an honor and privilege to be able to stand up here each week as part of this team and give God's word out as he gives it to us. It is an amazing privilege. We love you so, so much. I love CCW. I love this family. And weeks like this, it really just kind of rises to the surface. You know, when we're all kind of scrambling and trying to figure out if we're going to be here next weekend because of our hurricane. And then we get news and people are struggling and people, you know, and everybody kind of rallies around in prayer, making phone calls, being there for each other. You know, that's what family does. So it is just an amazing privilege and an honor. And I got to tell you, when I get up here each week or, you know, whenever I do speak, it doesn't slip by me that it's amazing to me that you actually trust me. Like, you really, like, for at least 30 minutes or 45 minutes a week, you believe what I'm up here saying. Like, you trust me with this time, with being able to deliver this message. But in reality, very, very few of you actually even know me, Joe Caputo. All right? For all you know, I could be standing up here telling you I'm Joe Caputo. Nobody ever asks me for my driver's license or runs my social security number or, you know, finds out, am I really who I say I am? You know, is what we say up here, what I say up here, really, really true? I mean, what if, just for a second, imagine this, it's not true, but imagine if just for a minute, all of this were a lie. Like, what if you found out tomorrow I wasn't who I said I was at all? Like, who have we been listening to all this time? Who is this guy that says he's Joe? Now, I know guys like Bruce Wimmer probably know everything, you know, about me because they have secret access to government documents and things. But you know, for the most part, most of you just trust that I am who I say that I am. And the problem is that if you believed my lies to be true, that could cause a lot of trouble up here. In fact, that could cause a lot of trouble in our community and in the worlds of many of us around here. You see, that's what happens when we tell and believe lies. Trouble happens. And if we tell and if we believe lies long enough, then they can disguise themselves as truth. And we begin to believe those lies. And when this happens, hurt happens. It would be no secret at all if you found out some things that were true or untrue about me or me about you, that there would be some degree of pain involved. And most of us know the hurt. Most of us know the hurt that comes from lies disguised as truth. Relationships broken. Trust broken. In fact, many of us know the hurt that comes from lies disguised as truth when the culture actually begins to lie to us. And we find out, man, that's all this is just a facade. It's not real at all. So this series, we're calling it Truth Hurts. This series, we're going to see how to recognize lies. We're going to talk about how to respond to the hurt and how to discover the life-shaping, eternity-changing difference between living in the reality of God's truth versus the lies that the world tells us and that we live in every single day. See, the Bible itself warns us about exchanging the truth for a lie. The Bible tells a lot about truth, and we'll talk about that. But the Bible in Romans 1 talks us about serving created things instead of the Creator, and that's one of the lies of the world. We start to believe that created things give us life and happiness and purpose, and that is a lie from the world, and Romans 1 talks about that. We don't exchange that truth for a lie, or we're in trouble. See, when we do this, there's damage, there's pain, and sometimes, if we're not careful, we even blame God as we seek for the truth. And we seek for the truth in all the wrong ways and all the wrong places, even in the created things around us. And it's no wonder we come up empty. You know, it was about a month ago, I got off vacation and, you know, I'm sitting on my couch and my phone's blowing up. I'm like, what in the world's going on? It wasn't even a whole day yet. And my brother is texting me. he's like, and texting is usually what we do. So when I get a phone call, I'm like, what is going on? So now my phone's ringing because I'm not answering my text. I'm at text, and he's like, what's, I answer the phone. He's like, have you seen what's going on in the news? And I'm like, no. He goes, man, we've been gone a whole week, and we get back and the whole world's falling apart, and this is going on. I'm like, what? Who died? Man, like, is the world on fire? What's going on? And he goes, aliens. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, aliens, man, it's all over the news. Haven't you seen it? It's like, it's the government's, there's meetings going on tomorrow. Everybody's talking about it, man. It's all, this is really, they are here. They're in America. They're taking over. Like, come on, man. Are you serious? All of this for, all right. So to humor my brother, I turn on the TV. I get on the news, I'm looking around, there's nothing. I turn on my phone, I'm looking at my news feeds, there's nothing. So I do what anybody would do. I hit Google and I'm searching for aliens invasion. And I find out my brother's news source. All right, maybe it's on the news here and there, but the fact of the matter is this thing had like this whole buzz about aliens in America had like 2 billion views on TikTok. So, yeah, man, I'm like copying about, like sending this to my brother. I'm like, I think I found your news source, TikTok. Man, this is where we're getting our news from. This is where we're getting our truth from. And it's freaking people out. You know, it's been said we live in a world that's drowning in information, but starving for truth. We see it in social media. We go out our doors and we get it from our peers. Sometimes when we go to school, from our teachers, the news, our neighbors, there is information everywhere. And we try to keep up with whatever the world says is good and true. And sometimes we end up believing and serving lies in the process. There's a better way. There is a better way. There is truth. And that's where we need to begin this series today, by asking that question, what is truth? Because I think we'd all agree truth really does matter to us. I mean, it does. I mean, I think you're going to agree. Our lives depend on truth. We desire truth. We expect truth. We expect it, for example, when we go out and we go shopping. Like, when I walk into Publix, I expect it to be a grocery store. If I walked into Publix tomorrow and it was filled with hardware, something's out of place, okay? It's not supposed to be that way. And if I walked into Publix and it does have the groceries and I walk up to a shelf and I'm picking up something that I'm going after and it says that thing costs $5 and I pick it up and I go to the register and she says that'll be $10, I've been lied to. I depend on the truth. I'm like, well, something's wrong. The shelf said $5. Everything was $5. And she says, I'm sorry, that price has changed. It's $10 now. Now what? They're going to give it to me for $5, this lie, this whole thing, you know? So I give her, I say, all right, I'll just go along with it. $5, I give her a $20 bill, and she says, thank you, and gives me a receipt. No change. What is going on in my Publix? Like, what is happening here? You don't get change today. Like, what do you mean I don't get change today? I got $15 coming back. Well, $10, I don't even remember anymore. I've got money coming back. Man, we understand our society, everything we do relies on truth. It relies on things being the way we expect them to be and the way things are lined up to be. In fact, we see this every time we're driving down the road, when we're in relationships with people, we depend on the truth being told. We expect our family, we expect our friends to tell the truth. In fact, if you lie, if you cheat, if you steal, you're gonna damage relationships. You're going to damage relationships with the people you do life with the people you work with, the people you go to school with. In fact, in worst cases, you might get fired for not telling the truth. You might get arrested for stealing. In fact, you might end up in court where, by the way, we still demand that you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So what is truth? It's a question that's been asked for centuries. It's a question that we're going to talk about today, and to answer it, we need to go back 2,000 years to a Roman governor named Pilate, who was face to face with Jesus himself. John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. You can go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, John 18, And we talk about what is truth. And when we read about this, when we meet Jesus and Pilate in this scenario, Jesus has already been arrested. In fact, he's already been lied upon. He's already been surrounded by people who are against him. He's been betrayed by one of his best friends. He's been arrested. He's been put on trial and judged by people, by the way, devoted to lies. He's going to face six trials in less than a day. Three of them religious trials, three of them legal trials, all surrounded by lies that people were buying as truth. The lies about Jesus had picked up momentum, and people started believing things that were not true. And here he was. And just before Jesus is innocently handed over to be beaten and crucified, a very interesting conversation takes place between Jesus and Pilate, who is the Roman governor of Judea. It's a conversation about truth. John 18, verse 33. It says, "So Pilate entered his headquarters again, and he called Jesus, and he said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?'" Like, it's truth-telling time. "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers him, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Jesus is asking a question with answering a question with a question, but he's getting there. And Pilate says, "What, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answers Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And Pilate says, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answers, "You say I'm a king." Other translations, Jesus is flat out agreeing, "Yes, I am a king. You say that I'm a king." Now watch what happens here. Jesus goes on. He says, "For this purpose, I was born. And for this purpose, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" What is truth? And after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and he told them, "I don't find any guilt in this man." Sets the stage. But Pilate's question here, what is truth? It's echoed all through history. And we have to, got to wonder about Pilate. I mean, was he curious? Like, what is truth? Like, what are you talking about? Was he confused? Was he despaired? Was he just cynical? Like, you know, what is all this truth stuff that you're talking about, Jesus? And or was he just frustrated and trying to get rid of Jesus, trying to blow him off, hand him over to where he belonged, to the Jews? So what's interesting is that Pilate gets no answer from Jesus. But his question is as important to us today as it was back then. How do you answer that question? I mean, Jesus didn't answer it, but if someone asked you, what is truth, how would you answer that question? In fact, if you ever lay awake at night and wonder, you know, what is truth? What is actually true and what isn't true? Now, I know this can really become a deep philosophical question. There's a lot of answers to this. So I'm going to keep it real simple and narrow. We could go all over the place with this, but basically I want to just talk about three different definitions or views of truth, okay? The first one is this, objective truth. Objective truth. This is when something is true based on what we recognize as real, like real things, real events, real facts. It's true everywhere, all the time, whether you believe it to be true or not. Like gravity, unless you're in space, then here we go again, all right? Absolutely, but you drop something, it falls to the floor. You can depend on that. That is truth. If someone were to ask you, if you're sitting in your chair right now, what would you say? Yes, unless you're standing, but you're sitting, so that's the truth. As you're sitting in your chair, you can't deny that. It's an actual fact. That's objective truth. The second one is subjective truth. Subjective truth. This is personal truth. It's the idea that something is true based on the subject who believes it to be true. So it's true for me, but it might not be true for everyone else. Subjective truth. The third one is situational truth. This is when something is true or accepted as true based on the situation that you're in at the time. It's contextual, but it's situational truth. So objective truth would be me standing here saying, I am 6'1", That is a fact. Measure me and you're going to find out I'm 6'1". That's objective truth. Now, on the other hand, what if I were to say, I'm very tall. That is subjective truth. That's my opinion. I believe it to be true, but situational truth would be that if I were in Europe right now or Africa, I wouldn't be 6'1" at all. I would be 1.85 meters tall. So it's a different, it just depends on where you're at. But objective truth doesn't change. All right? You measure me, you're going to find out how tall I am. Now people, the thing about this is people tend to put Christianity in the last two categories, when really the biblical word for truth is aletheia, which means reality. Most cases, divine reality. This means truth. In words, ideas, morality, divine truth as revealed to man, this is the word used by Jesus and Pilate in John chapter 18. So when we talk about truth biblically, we talk about truth today, when we talk about truth in this series, we're talking about objective truth, biblical truth that corresponds with reality. It's discoverable. It's telling it like it actually is. That which cannot be false. So if it's true, it can't be false. And you say, well, we're talking about Christianity. We're talking about religion. We're talking about the Bible. It's full of subjective and situational moral codes. It's full of ancient stories. That's true. But these codes and these stories are based in, and they're based on real people, real places, real discoverable facts. A real God, a real Jesus, real documents that can be discovered and measured and tried and found true, not false. And I know this is a crazy question. It's a big question. Again, you can spend days reading about this and studying this kind of stuff, and I want to encourage you to do that, to investigate all of this. In fact, on the screen, I'm going to give you some resources, and in your bulletin today, you can check out some resources there, and we're open to talk about this all during the week if you'd like as well. But I would just beg you this morning not to be like Pilate, not to be like Pilate and just turn away indifferent to what is right in front of him, the truth. So back to John chapter 18, Pilate, let me think about this. If only he had eyes to see, objectively, biblically, he would have seen that Christian and non-Christian historical sources dating back centuries point to the answer to his question. What Pilate wouldn't see was that the truth was standing right in front of him. But here we are, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the cross, we see it, right? We see truth. We see him, right? We see truth personified in Jesus, right? So the better question we might ask doesn't start with what is truth, but who is truth? Who is truth? And the answer is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and he is standing right in front of us. The Apostle John, 17 chapters earlier, addresses this right out of the gate. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. He says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the God in Word, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him not anything was made that was made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. See what he says there? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In verse 9, it says, the true light. So we're talking about truth. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And verse 14, John says, the Word became flesh. The Word put on skin. The Word became human and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's talking about Jesus, the Word of God in the flesh. And Jesus, of Nazareth, who came from heaven to earth, fulfilling over 300 messianic prophecies dating back 1,000 years before his birth to a virgin named Mary. Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, who lived a perfect life before our eyes, who taught perfectly, who did miracles that only God could do, who died as a perfect sacrifice brutally on a cross for your sins and mine. Jesus Christ, y'all, the truth. And then after Jesus died, he was put in a tomb. And then after 3 days, Jesus Christ rose from the grave, appearing to hundreds of people before ascending to heaven, alive again, proving once and for all and forever that he is, was, and will always be God, the eternal truth, aletheia in the flesh. That is Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, he says this about himself. He's giving comfort to his disciples. He's talking about eternal things. And he says these words. He says to Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus claims to be the truth. Paul affirms this later, the apostle, Colossians chapter 1, he says, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Those are truth words, and Jesus is the truth. He is divine reality. In fact, Jesus created and defines reality. Based on what we read and what we know, based on the words in Scripture and all we know about Jesus, he cannot be both God and not God at the same time. He is either one or the other. So when we look at Jesus standing right across from us, I want to assure you today that we have every reason to believe that he is the truth. He is the Christ, the Son of God made flesh. He rose from the grave. So when the Son of God, the promised Messiah, talks about truth, what does he say truth is? What does Jesus point to as the truth, God's word for us? What does he teach from? What does he live? What does he leave to us? Well, Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, taught God's word. The Scriptures. He taught the Old Testament. He modeled God's word. He left us God's word. So when Jesus, God in the flesh, endorses the Bible, when he endorses the Old Testament, which he grew up with, which he memorized, which he taught from, which he lived out perfectly, when Jesus lives up to his own words in the New Testament throughout his life, when he endorses the men that he chose, that he discipled, that he promised that the Holy Spirit would come to and inspire to write the words that we have in Scripture, the New Testament, we can be sure that this book, what Jesus said, this book endorsed by Jesus is God's word. This book, I want to go ahead and invite you to, if you haven't already, to grab that book in front of you in the chairs and hold it in your hands. I know these are written words in English and it's 2,000 years ago, but I want to promise you this is the truth of God written to us, words of Jesus. Jesus even prayed, John chapter 17, before he left, he prayed to God, they are not of the world. He's talking about his disciples. He's praying for them. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart in the truth. May they be people of the truth, because your word is truth. Your word is truth. The Apostle Paul, again, he affirms this. 1 Thessalonians 2, our words aren't just human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very words of God, which of course it is. And the word continues to work in you who believe. See, this book, these ancient documents that we hold in our hand, this is God's truth to us, signed and delivered by the creator of the universe himself, the Bible. I hope you'll make plans to join us on Wednesday night. Josh is teaching this class called Real Bible, Real Life. If you're not there, you should jump in there. We talk about all this in depth. But this Bible, God's truth, maybe you know this, but it is absolutely the best-selling, most accepted, most important, most read book in the history of mankind. This amazing library contains 66 books and letters inspired by God, written by 40 authors over 1,600 years, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, 1 story. 39 Old Testament books about God creating the world, leading his people, pointing the way to the Messiah, Jesus. 27 New Testament books, including the true stories of Jesus, the Messiah, and the story of God's people after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The letters written by men who knew Jesus, who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write and to encourage and to teach the early believers about living for the Christ. The Bible, God's truth for us. It's full of history, science, poetry, literature, wisdom, all with one consistent, unified, timeless, errorless message. And it is the history, changing story of the one and only Son of God, the Messiah Jesus, who came from heaven to earth to rescue mankind from death and offer us eternal life. This is God's word of truth. Amen. And there's a lot of things we could talk about today. In fact, we could be sure that what we hold in our hand is God's truth for us, that Jesus and the biblical writers, this is actually what they had and what they wrote. We can know this by looking at things like apologetics and evidences. And I actually had plans today to talk about some of this stuff, but it's early and we're kind of, you know, so I chopped all that out. But I promise there is evidence out there and you can find and discover this for yourself, man, that this is actually the same truth that they had back then we have today. Reliable, God's word. One of my favorite ways of teaching this and remembering this is using the acronym MAPS. I've taught about this multiple times. We look at the ancient manuscripts. We look at archaeology. The prophecies. We look at science and how it corroborates with scripture. And we look at the stories. And we see that what we have here is the same as we had then. And I hope that you'll study these things on your own. Again, there's resources out there deep and wide. And if this is your thing, I'd be glad to talk to you about that. And you can look at some of this in your bulletin as well. But God has proven and God has preserved his truth throughout history. Throughout the years, there have been thousands of attempts to disprove and destroy the Bible. And yet, here it is. The Bible itself is a great story. But I believe the greatest story of all, the greatest testimony of all, is the truth of God's word today. How the Holy Spirit is using God's word today, right here in this room, change lives on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. God's truth is still at work. Stories of love, story of grace, stories of forgiveness, stories of life change. The Holy Spirit of God, through the word of God, is still changing lives in very personal, very intimate, very irrefutable ways. In fact, I love to do this. I'll do this every now and then, but I want to tell you, if you know today, if you are absolutely positive today that your life has been changed, like absolutely changed by the Holy Spirit's work through God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand. And you don't have to stand, but if you don't want to, but I just tell, look, you are the testimony of God's living truth. All right, don't feel pressured to stand. I understand, but I mean, look around the room, y'all. Look, every single one of you has a story. The life-changing truth of Jesus and how the Spirit works through his word. You know this is true. You are the evidence. You are the evidence. Even thousands of years later, the truth of God is at work for your good and God's glory. I want you to find somebody who stood today, and I want you to ask them what their story is. Ask them what they're talking about when they stood up. What is God speaking to them? change lives here and now. And it's not changed, man, your lives and my lives are not just changed by saying it's true. It's not just changed by believing it's true. Your lives are changed and my life is changed when we begin to ask the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit and live out the word of God. That is how our lives are changed. We actually beginning to live, literally live the truth of God himself. And that's what we need to go today, living the truth. Are we living in the truth? I want to ask you that. Do we truly believe? You're thinking about it. Maybe Jesus is standing right in front of you. Do you really believe, truly believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you really believe that? Is he worth living for? Do you really believe that the Bible is God's word of truth? You really believe God's word? We say it out loud. We believe it in our hearts, but are we living that truth? Is your life, is my life matching up? Is my truth matching up with God's truth? That is a daily question we need to ask ourselves. Jesus, in John chapter 8, he says to the Jews who believed in him, he says, if you abide in my word, live in my word. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. Know the truth. And the truth will, this is a promise from Jesus, the truth will set you free. Abide, live in God's word, know the truth. This is a biblical word, this word know. We're talking about abiding in a way that you are intimate with the word of God, that it is in you and working through you in your everyday life, and be set free. Freedom. When you stood today, you know you have been set free by the living word of God working in your life. Truth, free from the lies that the world tells you, free to know who you are, free to know who God created you to be, free to be loved by God and to love others the way God loves you. Free to live like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 when he was talking to the devil, that man should not live by bread alone. That is a lie. We don't live by bread alone. We don't live by the things of the world. We live by the very words of God. John chapter 4, Jesus says to the woman at the well that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we worship the Lord, it's an outpouring of our everyday life of living in the truth. John 16:13, Jesus is teaching his disciples and he gives them this promise. When he, the spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And one way we live the truth is as a church family. That's why we have these core values, and one of our core values is biblical truth. It's a core value at CCW. This means that as a church family, we place the highest values on the principles taught in the holy, error-free, inspired word of God. It's who we are. All of our thoughts, all of our actions are filtered through the God-given lens of biblical truth. Led by his spirit, this is us. God's word gives us direction for this body, direction for the way we love and live and serve in our community, direction for eternal life in Christ. And by learning and living God's word individually and together, we can be a people, individually and together, a people who are equipped to serve the Lord and bring the hope of Jesus to all people. Now, we don't worship the Bible. We worship Jesus. We worship the Lord Almighty. But through the word of God, we can join Jesus in his purpose. You remember his purpose? John 18. His words to Pilate. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, Jesus said, to bear witness to the truth. It's our purpose. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So will we listen to the voice of truth today? Like Pilate, we might ask the question, what is truth? And I pray today. Man, I pray today because I see, and I'm just like you, we live in these lies and we see the destruction going on all around us in people's lives, people that we love. We need to know and live in the truth. I hope we know the answer. The answer is Jesus, his son. And Jesus points us to the very word of God, his truth, given to us, the Bible. And where this comes in a road, where this rubber meets the road, is will we begin doing what Jesus says to do? Will we begin to live out our beliefs? Today, that might mean for you to surrender your life to Jesus once and for all, forever, to turn away from your old life and repent of your sins and confess Jesus as Lord, to be baptized into Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, forgiven of your sins, and walk in the truth for the rest of your life. You can do that today. Maybe living out your beliefs means you need to repent. There is a specific sin in your life. You have traded the truth for a lie and you know it. Maybe no one else knows it. But the Spirit of God is telling you right now, it's time once and for all to leave that here today and listen to the voice of truth. Do not trade that truth for a lie. Or maybe today you might just simply decide that you're going to be a better example for the truth at work or at school or wherever you might be and walk in the truth. Walk by the Spirit. And he's going to give you that answer today and how to do that. Today for the rest of our service, we're going to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We're going to spend time praising his name. And I'm going to ask you as we do, I'm just going to pray that you would surrender your heart to the Creator. The Creator God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. He gave his Son, Jesus Christ, for us, and we worship him. Today, right now, as the band is coming, we're going to lift up the name of Jesus, the one and only Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. And if you believe that today, I want you to worship like you believe it today. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit, welcome him to guide you into the truth today. He is going to tell you something you need to change, something you need to do. Listen to his voice today and decide to live in his truth. Abide in him. Live in him. Spend time in his word. I believe today, not tomorrow, not the day after today. Don't put this off. Today could be the day that you pray, that you repent, that you give your life to Christ. Once and for all. So as you sit, as you stand, as you kneel, as you sing, whatever the Lord leads you to do today, I pray that you will just give your heart to him and worship. You're gonna notice the tables up front with communion on it. We're gonna celebrate the Lord's Supper. There might be some further direction to that, but the men and the women are not gonna pass out communion today. We're gonna allow you, the Holy Spirit, to lead you to the table, to remember the body and the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice and his resurrection, the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So whenever you feel led, you can come up and you can take the bread and the juice, you can take it up around the room, you can take it back to your chair. Our prayer team are gonna be around the room. In fact, they probably won't be up front, they'll be in the back and on the sides. If you're one of our elders and pastors, you're welcome to stand and greet people. If you need prayer today, we're here for you too. Make this a time for you to be led by the Spirit to the truth, Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Father, I pray that your Spirit would meet us right where we are. For those of us who know you and love you and trust you, God, I pray that you would meet us on the inside out, God, and just erupt from within us the praise that you so deserve as our God and our Father. We worship you. We remember your Son, his body and his blood, his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and the life we have in him, because he really is. God, we really believe, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we celebrate that together today. And Father, for those of us who might be wondering and thinking and facing the truth and looking and searching, God, I pray that you would meet them where they are today as well. Speak to them that this might be their day to give their life to you. Holy Spirit, work on them. Change lives today. And as we open your word and share and study and learn in small groups and in our quiet time, in our living rooms, in our quiet places, under a tree, listening in the car, God, I pray that your holy word would begin to transform us as we live it out in our everyday life. And we're going to give you the praise and you the glory and you the honor for everything that we are and everything that we do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.